Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries, and every morning we do a devotional called Suffer Well, sufferwell.org, and we do this to encourage each other about our Creator's Word. And this devotional named Suffer Well is so powerful, and just the idea in general of suffering. Yeshua said we need to suffer the way He suffered, and there's so much that goes on with that suffering, but I want to read this devotional to you, and then we're going to do a little teaching about it because it's so profound and important. This is the 69th teaching we're doing this year. And if you're listening on the radio or if you're watching, wherever you are, you can go to the website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and hear all of these devotionals. So this one is called Yahweh's Top 10, Yahweh's Top 10. And I'm calling it or discussing it as, a new person in Yeshua, because that's what the point of everything He's doing for us and giving us is that we become a new person in Him. The old person would be no more. People would no longer recognize us because we've changed that much and we've become a new person, a new person. It's a new day and we have a new way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's look at what it says here. And we're going to go through scripture talking about these things. So we start off, it says, if you understand the totality of a renewed mind given as a gift to a chosen man and woman, then you would recognize that up until this point or that point of redemption, we were all imprisoned in our minds, dominated by self, which is the ego. The initial release from that prison becomes available when you experience the realization, hey, something has happened to me. For the first time, I have this desperate need for Yahweh and the understanding of why His Son Yeshua had to shed His blood. I've read many devotionals. I've told you many things, but there's no better way that I can sum it up in terms than what we just read. And because of that, I'm going to read it again slower, and I want you to comprehend what it is saying. Because this is what it's all about. This is about the new person that we become in Him and the reason why and how to do that and how to confirm that. And that's what it's about. I read it again. It says, if it starts off with the words, if you understand the totality of the renewed mind given as a gift to chosen men and women. It's a gift. Many are called, but few are chosen. The gift, the new mind is a gift. The thinking the right way is a gift. Then you would realize up to that point of redemption, we were all imprisoned and dominated by evil. So this new mind releases by ego. So this new mind releases us from ego or self. So no longer we have pride. Now we're humble with this new life. The initial release of this prison becomes available when you experience the realization that something has happened. For the first time, we understand the need for Yahweh and understand of why His Son had to die for us. Basically, this renewed life is a life of humbleness versus a life of selfishness and pride. And we can only get this new life with understanding that Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, gave us His Son to die for us and give us this gift that we don't deserve. And then we can have this new life in Him. Let me continue reading. It says, this is the totality of the effects of Deuteronomy 30. Obey His voice with a circumcised heart, a repentant mind. Choose life and abound in His blessings. Read it all and yet be very careful. The initial release from our inner prison is only the first set of bars. As I say often, many people think that it's going to get easier. Our life is going to get easier, but it's going to get more complicated. But we're going to have more joy. It says the complete effect of a saved mind or salvation There remains much work to do as each layer of the carnal self is removed from within the active subconscious thought process. And so with each release of the old and the realization of the new creation you are, here are 10 steps that might help you with the healing process. Healing process, you better believe it. As the self decreases, the Messiah in you increases. You need to let each process slowly take root. And now let me explain this to you. Corinthians 5:17, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Yeshua has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. It's a new life. We're set free from this prison. We're out of the slavery of Egypt and coming into the promised land. John 3:30 says, he must become greater and greater and I must become less and less. And we see how to do that. And we give the in the devotion here, there's 10 things that tell us how to do that. But before we even get to these 10 things, let's read Deuteronomy 30, a call to return to Yahweh. Let's read this and see exactly what it says. It says, in the future, when you experience all the blessings and the curses that I have listed for you, and when you are living among the nations to which Yahweh, your Elohim, has exiled you, take heart all these instructions. If at that time you and your children return to Yahweh your Elohim, and if you obey with all your heart and all your soul all the commands I have given you today, then, you see the words if and then Yahweh your Elohim will restore your fortunes. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from the nations where you have been scattered. Even though you are banished to the ends of the earth, Yahweh your Elohim will gather you from there and bring you back again. Then Yahweh your Elohim will return to you in a land that belonged to your ancestors, and he will possess that land again. Then he will make you even more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. If and then, remember that. It said Yahweh your Elohim will change your heart and the hearts of your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and the soul, and you will may live. You understand? He's going to inflict us with a circumcised heart. That's what he's going to do. He will inflict these curses on your enemies and those who hate and persecute you. Then you again will obey Yahweh and keep his commands that I have given you this day. Yahweh Elohim will make you successful in everything you do, and he will bless you in every way. But the command that I am giving you today is not too difficult for you. It is this, it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask who will go up to heaven and bring it down and obey. It is not kept beyond the sea so far you may ask who will cross the sea to bring it to. No, it is the message that is very close at hand. It is on your lips and your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen today, and this is the key, and this is what everyone needs to understand. This is scripture. This is not me talking. This is Yahweh talking. In Deuteronomy 30, 15, it says, now listen. Today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love Yahweh your Elohim and to keep his commands and decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. And then the rest of the chapter says, if you do this, you will be blessed. And if you don't do this, you will be cursed. We don't understand blessings and curses according to man, because man doesn't understand the life that comes after our life here. Man doesn't understand the healing power of Yeshua and how in an instant he could heal us from anything that's going on in our lives that's not of him. Until you get that circumcised heart, you can't see that you're blind. But that's what being released is about. You know, people that have been in jail too long, when they get out of jail, they can't function in society. So they do everything in their power to go back into that jail, that imprisonment, because that's the only way they can function in life. But these commandments, these things I'm giving you today, these 10 things in this devotional are going to teach you and show you how to be released from that prison that you've been stuck at for so long in your life. And how you're going to be able to come to understand how to survive with this renewed spirit, with this renewed life, as a new person in Yeshua. So I'm going to finish reading these, and then we're going to continue with our teaching here this morning. But think about these. Meditate on these things and let them take effect. Again, we become a new person in him because we've gotten that gift to do so. How are we going to treat this gift and act this gift? The first thing we need to do is to scream out. Scream out about the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit. And this is within your soul. Practice love and joy until he seals them within you. Practice love and joy. Put them into practice. Practice makes perfect. Stay locked out from the world for a season and repeat it as necessary. Don't get caught up in the world's fears and the world's ways and the world's thinking. Separate yourself. Separate yourself for a time to cleanse yourself and heal yourself. Embrace everything through Messiah's eyes and see the sweetness of it all. Messiah is a man who died for us, and he wants us to mimic him in love and life and everything. Would you be willing to die and put your life on the line for an unseen faith, for faith that is unseen, for things we don't fully understand, but we go out on faith that these things are true, that there is more to eternity than there is here in our present life. Embrace everything through his thinking and his eyes and everything. Absolutely, absolutely, if you're a renewed person, the serious things we need to understand, make no big decisions within the first days of coming out of that prison into this new freedom. If you're stuck in prison for a long time and you come out, make no major decisions in those first 30 days or those first months when you come out. Your thinking is not balanced. You have your emotions are too overwhelmed to make wise decisions. Number 7, no decisions made without your spouse's mutual consideration as acceptable. Now, of course, if you're not married, this wouldn't apply to you. But if you're married, you have to understand, make no major decisions without understanding that you are not alone, you have a partner, and make them with them. Number 8, sear righteous principles into those around you at all times. Righteous principles, the commandments of our wonderful Creator. I will tell you this, and people that haven't read the Bible don't understand this, and they can't understand this. There's not one thing in the Bible that is bad for us or negative for us when our Creator calls it good. And anyone that tells me, but what about this in the Bible, or God said this, or what about this? They don't understand. They don't understand the love of Yeshua. They haven't read all their scriptures. And if they're seeking to learn and understand, well, why does it say this? That's one thing. But if somebody's deceived, like so many of us in this trap of imprisonment are, they'll make excuses and loopholes not to follow the scriptures. It's a book given by our Heavenly Father to improve and enhance our lives and for us to be blessed. And every single thing in there, even if it doesn't make sense for us, is there to bless us. It's to bless us tremendously and to keep us safe. Leading to number 9, it says, trust Yahweh to restore anyone and anything necessary. We need to put our trust in him and not man. And number 10, remember who the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are to you and what that means in regard to everything you face in life. No more guessing. No more feeling your way through life. Now you know and you are accountable. Now you know and you are accountable. And we read Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So I ask you all, what choice are you going to make? Who are you going to choose to follow? Who are you going to choose to trust? There are many books of wisdom in this world, but the scriptures say the real wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. And I can say it for this reverent time right now, and if you hear this in the future, it's still the reverent message that man fears man more than they fear our Creator, the one that created them, and that is the issue. That is the issue. Our Creator says to cling to goodness and run from unrighteousness. This is the problem. People are doing it backwards. People are running from the fear of man's ways but they're not fearing what Yahweh says to take no part of. When we can learn to run from sin as much as we're learning to run from these man-made viruses, then maybe we can get a grasp of what our Creator is trying to teach us and what He's trying to tell us. But we have to become a new person. We have to become a person that thinks about freedom and not about a bondage. No matter how long you were stuck in that bondage, you're a free person now, and you have every opportunity to receive that gift and be a free person in Yeshua. And as a person myself who lived for many, many years without Him, I could attest that it's a completely different life right now, a completely different way of doing things, a completely different way of thinking things. And when I have conversations with people and they try to rationalize and put on the same level our Creator who gave His Son to die for us, on the same level they try to compare other religions, cultures, and thoughts, or even their own thoughts and their own mind to try to think that they have the same understanding and belief that the holy words of Scripture have. And when they try to justify their own thinking and say, well, the Scriptures have been changed, this is what I believe, or this is how I feel, or this is what makes sense to me. A new person, a person of freedom, a person that Yahweh has chosen this gift doesn't do that. He says, I don't care what I feel. I don't care about what I think. I don't care about what my emotions are. This is what my Creator says. He created me and knew me before I was even born, and I will trust Him because I believe and know that He is smarter than I am. And we start figuring this out with some things when He says, here is the food to eat. Here is how to live your lives. And when we live those lives, guess what? We're blessed. But it says in the Scriptures, there's a way before each person that seems right but ends in death. Well, our Creator says, know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. But in His great mercy, He says He takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people. He only wants us to change from our wicked ways so we would live and we would have life. And those of you that are listening right now that don't get it, that don't understand it, that His word has to be above everything else, even our own thoughts, above everything else, because Yeshua died for us. And we didn't deserve that. And we don't deserve that. Until you get to that feeling, you are still stuck in bondage. No matter how much wisdom you think you have, you think seeing Solomon, he thought he had all the wisdom of the world, but he was still stuck because he didn't give up his faith. He didn't give his faith to Yeshua. He didn't give up his faith to the Messiah to come then. And he didn't give up his faith to Yahweh's ways. He was stuck in the ways that he thought was right. Remember, it doesn't say it once, it says it twice in a book of wisdom. There's a way before each person that seems right but ends in death. We need to be transformed. That's what we need to be, and have a repentant mind. And forget about the ways that we're thinking are right and think about His ways. If you can't confirm it in His word, then it's not of Him and it is sin. And sin will lead you to a path of bondage and not the freedom that our Creator wants to give us. Galatians 6:15 says it doesn't matter whether you have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what words you say. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You're still going to be stuck in prison. You're still going to be in Egypt, and you're not going to be in the promised land if you have not been transformed, if your mind has not been changed. You cannot love the things you once loved when you understand the love of Yeshua. Let me give you an example of this wonderful, amazing gift and the consequences for ignoring this. Because when I read things that Yeshua came back and He came to bring back from the dead a girl and people had such a lack of faith and they looked Him right in the face and laughed at Him and said, how could you bring her back from the dead? They laughed at Him. And there are so many people that are mocking Him and laughing at Him in their actions out there. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's no neutrality with our Creator. You love Him or you hate Him. There's no neutrality. You trust Him or you don't. But people today want to pick and choose, and they get themselves in trouble. In Matthew 22:1-14, the parable of the great feast, Yeshua also told the other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of the king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited. But they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared, the bulls of fattened calves have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he invited ignored them and went their own way. One to his farm, another to his business. Others seized the messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent an army to destroy the murderers and burn their towns. And then he said to the servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of this honor. Now go out into the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we see, for many are called, but few are chosen. Or for many are called, but few choose. We have been given this great gift and this great opportunity of Yeshua becoming a sacrifice for us. And so many people are ignoring it. So many people are mocking it. So many people are looking at their own ways and not his ways. They're literally, with their choices, are choosing life or choosing death over life. Because that's what it is. That's what it is. But we look at the wonderful prophets in scripture. We look at Isaiah, and Isaiah says about judgment and the final salvation in Isaiah 65:1-22. He quotes a wonderful creator. He quotes him and says, I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, here I am to a nation that did not call on my name. This is our very own creator speaking through Isaiah. Here I am, he cries out today to all of us. Those of you that are watching that know me, that have not accepted this call yet, I promise you, I live the life you live. I understand what it is to live under our own thinking. When you pick up the words of scripture, until you understand and until you get this, you are living a life of your own. You're putting it all on your shoulders, but it changes when you put it on Yeshua's shoulders. Verse 2 says, all day long I opened my arms to a rebellious people, but they followed their own evil paths and their own crooked scams. Remember, he invited us to a wedding feast and many didn't want to come. He's inviting all of you to the wedding feast. And this isn't a message for those of you only that just think you know this, but this is for those of you that have denied the invitation over and over again. I've asked many of you out there, read the scriptures with me. Read the scriptures. Trust in Yeshua. Come to church with me. And you've denied it over and over again, making excuses for your worldly pleasures and your own ideas. You've denied the wedding invitation that I've handed you over and over again. And here our Creator is saying, I've opened my arms to a rebellious people, but you refuse to even think you are rebellious. You said, oh, I'm good. I can do it all without him. But he still opened his arms to us. But it says in here in Isaiah in 65 verse 2, but they follow their own evil paths and their own crooked scams. But they don't see it as evil because they're selfish. And there's a path before each person that seems right but ends in death. Verse 3 says, all day long they insult me to my face by worshiping idols in their sacred gardens. They burn incense on pagan shrines. All night they go out among the graves, worshiping the dead. They eat the flesh of pigs and make stews of other forbidding foods. Yet they say to each other, don't come too close or you will defile me. I am holier than you. These people are a stench to my nostrils. It never goes away. This is the society we live in today and the world we live in today. Verse 6 says, look, my decree is written out in front of me. I will not stand silent. I will not repay them. I will repay them in full. Yes, I will repay them, both them for their own sins and for their ancestors, says Yahweh. For they also burned incense in the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will pay them back in full. But I will not destroy them all, says Yahweh. For just as good grapes are found among the cluster of bad ones. And someone will say, don't throw them away. some of those grapes that are good. So I will not destroy all Israel, for I still have true servants there. I will preserve the remnant of the people of Israel and to Judah to possess my land. Those I choose will inherit it, and my servants will live there. Remember, many are called, but few are chosen. Those I choose. The plan of Sharon will again be filled with flocks for my people who have searched for me. And the valley of the anchor will place a pasture for their herd. Now, some of you might be watching or listening to this saying, well, that's for Israel, and that's for a time in the past, and this is exactly for a time now, because many are still called and few are chosen. And those that are chosen have to answer the call. Those of you that are being handed the wedding feast, the invitation, have to take it and come proper, come dressed properly. Come dressed properly with the proper mind, a proper heart, and be willing to forget yourself. These are the clothes of the proper clothes to wear to the wedding feast. It's not just to show up. It's to show up with the right clothing. It's to show up with the right heart and to be willing to let go of yourself and to accept him. Verse 11 says, but because the rest of you have forsaken Yahweh and have forgotten his temple, and because of you are prepared feast to honor the God of faith, with a lowercase g, and have not offered mixed wine to the God of destiny, the lowercase g, now I will disdain you from the sword. All of you will bow down before the executioner. For when I called, you did not answer. For when I spoke, you did not listen. You deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do what you know I despise. Sin is sin and sin is sin. And this is what people of the world say. When I tell people, why don't you read the scriptures with me? Why don't you go listen to what our creator has to say? But your way is better. And this is what he's saying in verse 13. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Elohim says. My servants will eat, but you will starve. My servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be sad and ashamed. My servants will sing for joy, but you will cry in sorrow and despair. His servants. While this world's running around in fear from all these viruses and sicknesses and everything else, my servants will be singing with joy. When people are getting executed and killed in war, my servants will be singing with joy. Your name will be a curse among my people, for the sovereign Elohim will destroy you, and I will call his true servants by another name. All who invoke a blessing or take on an oath will do so by the God of truth. For I will put aside my anger and forget the evil of the earlier days. Do you understand at any time, in any way, he takes no pleasure in the death of wicked. He wants them to change from their wicked ways so they would live. He wants us to partake in this new world he has for us. And this world can begin right now because there are two kingdoms, two heavens. There's the heaven that we're going to, and there's a heaven right here on earth. And it begins with accepting that invitation and coming proper to the feast.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.